Welcome back to another episode of Turbulence, the traveler's perspectives on dating and relationships. I'm your host, Tyler Janae, and today we have a guest who has traveled all over the world and is currently the author of the new children's book, Titan and the World Schoolers. I reached out to her to have her spill all the tea and details on the year of the return in Ghana and all those cuties who she was hugged up with. So let's get right into it. Hey, Ty, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You are so funny.
You like
I
that,
love
huh?
That introduction.
How are you?
I'm good. Ghana was so much fun. Like, it definitely over exceeded my expectations completely.
I bet it looked amazing in all the pictures and the videos, especially yours, which we're going to dive into real soon. So first, can you just go ahead and share a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do within the travel space?
Well, I'm Thai Travels. I would say I'm definitely multifaceted. You know, I'm a tour guide in New York City. You know, I can go from dating one second to travel with children the next second, and, you know, Canna Travel, which is basically weed business.
And oh, okay.
Dating.
Have to talk about
and,
that.
Yeah, just so many different things I do. I also do a lot of work with indigenous tribes and staying in villages and survival, like being in the river, Amazon River, and just in the middle of nowhere in the bush somewhere. Like, I just do all
adventure.
Types of stuff. Yeah.
Well, for those who are listening, me and Ty, we've never met in person, but we've been Facebook friends for a while now. And I always love catching her next post because I feel like yours is so authentic and so like real. You give us the real deal and you're always like befriending people overseas. So Ty, like, what's the secret sauce? Like, what is it? Because it seems like everywhere you go, you make friends.
Well, being open-minded is one. And being solo, it just makes you have to talk to people. And yeah, I guess it just happens when you're by yourself.
So thinking about like Ghana in particular, can you just share with our audience on what the year of the return even is and why it was such a big movement this year?
Well, the year of the return represented the 400 year anniversary that slaves were taken in the Atlantic slave trade to the Americas. So it just represents us returning back home, something that our ancestors didn't get an opportunity to do.
And there were also like other events like Afrochella and different things like that, right?
Yeah. And the different events, those were really incredible. I had a great time at Afrochella. It was amazing being around like my brothers and sisters from all over the world. It was like Europe was in the building, Kenya, Tanzania, Nigeria, and just people from all over, even at Afro Nation as well. So Afrochella was more oriented towards art, and Afro Nation was just like a concert.
Ah, okay.
Which was a 4-day festival. It was a 4-day concert, and Afrochella was just one day.
Okay. Because I was confused because there's so many different events that some people don't know if they're connected or if it's just another just solo event. Which one do you feel like you had the most fun at?
I had such a blast at both of them.
At both of them? Okay.
Yeah,
that's
I can't,
fine
I can't
too.
Pick. I can't pick.
How did it just feel just being there with all those beautiful Black people? Like, it's definitely something I got to do next year. I was just looking at everyone's timeline, including yours, and I was like, why am I not here?
It felt special. It felt like I was a part of something. Like, I always wanted to be a part of something. So. It definitely felt like that was it for sure.
And you said that it was pretty easy and simple for you to meet people because you were by yourself?
Yeah.
So how does that typically work? Are you just like out, just hanging out,
like,
and chilling?
My secret, the real secret.
Is... Oh, here we go. Take notes. Take notes.
I'm like always smoking a blunt. So like... Whoever it likes weed just goes like, oh, I gotta go talk to that girl. So it all starts from there, really. Usually,
okay.
If it's a safe space for it, that's usually how people initiate contact with me.
So I'm thinking in particular about the two guys that I saw like popping up mostly. So I remember, I know one is Sam. I'm Facebook friends with Sam too. So
Yeah.
how did you meet Sam? He is so adorable with his freckles.
Yes, he is so handsome and so cute. I guess I know him same way like you, like through Facebook, through being a tour guide. He's always welcomed me to Ghana. I've been following for a long time and I'm always thinking, oh, he's so cute. But I never thought like, romantic cute. I thought like, little brother cute.
I feel it. Sorry, Sam.
But when I got out there, I'm like, nah, he's grown.
Oh, that's what you said. You said something in the Facebook on Facebook. You said something like, "Don't be tripping when the African men send you those DMs. You better reply."
Yes, because
I
a
thought that
while
was so
back,
funny.
a few girls would hit me up and say, hey, such and such guy is in my inbox. Like, do you know him? Is he like one of those guys looking for a green card? I mean, I can't vouch for everybody, but I just don't like that people think that all they want is a green card. Just like we like foreign people, they like foreign people too. So they might like our little American accents, but they might be totally comfortable being in Ghana or whichever African country they're in and just might want you to come visit. It's not always about, them needing a green card.
Yeah, that's a common thing that I feel like women are nervous about when they do like want to travel and like date and hang out with other guys. Like that's something that's always in the back of their heads. But I agree with you too. I just think it's a fun time. First off, who said it had to be a full commitment in the first place?
Exactly.
Well, also, you talked about the cultural differences. So there was a photo that I'm gonna put in the visuals for this podcast that had your friends unbraiding your hair. That's not something you see very often in the States. I did my research. I did my research.
You definitely did. Okay, so that's the other guy, the other mystery guy. His name is Promise, and he's Nigerian. And I met him on couch surfing prior to coming to Ghana. And all I said was, I wanted somebody to braid my hair for me. And next thing you know, I wake up one morning to like 1,000 text messages. I'm at your house, with the hair braider. Mind you, Sam was about to come pick me up to take me to get my hair braided. But I'm like, never mind, Sam. There's somebody here with a hair braider. I guess I'm gonna go with this.
Wait. Okay, so for those who don't know, can you explain what couch surfing is first?
Okay, couch surfing is a website that I use to meet with people while traveling. You can also use it to stay with people. So people might have an available room at their house or a couch available for you to sleep on, and you can actually stay with them for free. But I use it for hanging out. They have different options where you can actually be a host, or if you need hosting, or if you just want to hang out.
Are you really like if you do decide to stay, are you really sleeping on someone's couch or do they have other
Yeah,
options?
no, some people really live in mansions, and you might have like a whole mansion to yourself, kind of like a house sitting type of scenario. Or you can be
Really?
like somebody might have a really nice studio apartment and you have a couch there. It's all like you, there's like millions of different couches that or hosts that you can search through. So it's not just a uncomfortable couch as you think. You might actually have your own room. It might be luxury accommodation, like somebody might be like really rich and you're staying at a rich
Yeah,
person's house.
I'm trying to be more open-minded to it because that's one of the things I haven't done is the couch surfing, but it's just like in my head when I think about it, I'm automatically thinking negatively. I'm thinking I'm gonna be on somebody's uncomfortable couch. It's gonna be a creeper in the corner who's gonna be like poking out trying to see me sleep. Like I don't know where I got that from. Like where did I get that misconception?
I think because our parents taught us not to be so trusting. Like, I'm Haitian. I wasn't even allowed to go to sleepovers growing up. So,
Same.
something like that is just like we were instilled with. Like, we don't do that. So, yeah. So,
You
I still don't utilize that feature to sleep at people's homes. I just rather pay the hostel fee.
And you said that he just popped up. Like, I can
Yeah. I didn't even
answer
like
whatever you need.
confirm the appointment. Like, I really didn't. But he was
And then
there.
he came looking like that.
Right. So he came and I'm like, look at this muscle guy. Like, okay. So, I had my Meek Mills or whatever. So I had to unbraid my hair for the lady to like braid it for me. And he really just dove right in and just helped me unbraid my hair. It was like, really? It was a no-brainer. It wasn't like a can you, it was just like, where's the comb?
Because that is not a thing out here. Like, I have never even, like, felt comfortable enough to, like, my hair is very, like personal to me. Like, I'm still getting over, like, the natural hair journey. You know, like, I still have my things. You know, like, some people are, like, fully comfortable with their natural hair, and I'm, like, in the process of, like, feeling comfortable with it again.
I'm,
you know,
so not comfortable. Like, I don't like guys seeing me with no weave, no wig, no makeup, no nothing, but I'm almost 30 now. Like, I don't care anymore.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to be like you.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. Like, even, like, personal things, like, you know, like, shaving, you know, now it's just kind of like, you know, and I might just let it grow a little bit. I'm lazy. Mm-hmm,
F it. You're going to love whatever I give you.
Basically.
So you also said that you felt like a little bit famous when you were out there. Tell me about
that.
It
was insane. Like, every day a couple people would be like, are you Ty Travels? Like, oh, it's Ty Travels. Let's take a pic. Like, that, like, I don't know. That was amazing to me. Like, how do so many people know me? Like, people I don't even know. I thought I knew everybody that knew me. So I'm, like, looking like, Jessica from where?
Girl, there's okay. Not that many. There is not that many women within the travel community that I know who just are just so real with their experiences. Like for me, I'm telling you, from me on the outside looking in, it just looks like you don't give a fuck. Like, you're just like, I'm gonna be me, you know, I'm gonna have fun, I'm gonna enjoy myself regardless of what people say. So I really appreciate you for that.
Thank you so much. I mean, yeah, I love being me. Like,
and
people tell me I have to, like, hide it sometimes because I do too much, but I don't know. It's just
me. Oh, stop. Tell them to sit down somewhere. So back to Ghana. So what would you say were, like, your first impressions? Like, when you, was this your first time there for the Year of the Return?
Yeah, it was definitely my first time there. I thought the traffic was going to be terrible. The traffic was smooth. Uber was cheap.
Oh, they have Uber out there.
Yeah, they have Uber out there, and most rides are under $5.
Really?
But I did have a personal driver myself. But if you do decide to go the Uber route, that's good. Oh, you know, the driver was one of my boyfriends too.
Oh, you see, that's what I'm talking about with the secret sauce. Where did you meet him from?
I can't talk too much about that situation because
Okay.
He has a wife, but
got it. Okay, yeah. Next subject. So what were your first impressions in the city, and what city were you in?
So I was in Accra, and it was very modern, very, like, it felt comfortable. It didn't feel like I was in a third world country or somewhere poor.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very modern. Yeah, it just felt like home. Like, the worst, I would say, like, is there's no worse. There's no worse. There are a lot of beggars on the street, but that's everywhere.
Mm. Do you feel like you met a lot of people, like, to hang out with other than our two friends from earlier that we talked about? Or do you feel like you met a lot of other people?
No, I met so many people. You know, I stayed in the hostel. So I made a lot of sisters in there, like, definitely friends for life that I made in that hostel.
Which hostel was it? Because I'm trying to make it on my list this year, so I'm trying to take notes as you talk to me. So, all right. What hostel were you in?
I stayed at this place called Fihi's Place, and it's right off of Oxford Street in Osu, and it's, like, right next door to a brothel. So you get to see all the action at night.
Okay. That sounds interesting. I might have to put that on my list of things to do. When it comes to just, like, dating as a traveler, first off, are you able to tell me what your current relationship status is?
My current relationship status is single.
Single. Okay. I mean, I gotta ask. You never know nowadays. So, as a single traveler who travels often as a woman, what would you say is the best way to meet people other than, like, you know, the weed. Other than that, okay, for people who are trying to go out, like, how can they meet people too?
Okay, so second thing I always do is, you know, I scope around in the travel groups. I ask, hey, who lives in this city? Another thing I do, you got to check the Tinder. You got to see the dating pool. See who's
there we go. The women I've talked to, they talk about Tinder so often. What has been your experience on the app?
I've been using online dating for years, and it's perfect for me because I meet guys to pick me up from the airport, take me out, show me around, like basically get a free tour and meet somebody nice in the process. So, yeah, I love it.
I've done it too. I think it's fun. I've met a couple of guys on there, you know, and they get a little sad, but it's cool being able to tell them, like, I'm only here for a couple of days, you right. know, like, I do need somebody to pick me up from the airport and take me around. And I've met a lot of people that I'm still in contact with today from Tinder. So those of you who are listening, like, Tinder is not all this creepy sex app. It can be, you know, but it's also a really good way.
And just to throw it out there, I don't like use anybody. Like, if a guy is interested in entertaining me and I know it's never going to be like anything more, I will offer to pay for my own things and give gas money or even treat them.
That's important. Yeah. You don't want anybody to feel like they're being taken advantage of, which is really important. So can you just tell me a little bit, because this is a dating show, you know, we do talk about dating a little bit. So can you kind of tell me, like, what has been your dating experience? You can talk about it in the States or outside of the States. Just like, how are you feeling about singlehood, especially as a person who travels often?
Well, I'm newly divorced, so I'm like newly single and dating.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, at least 1 year now I've been single. And
how has that year been?
Too much fun, obviously.
How long were you married?
For 2.5 years, but we were in a relationship for 5 years prior.
Okay. And you have a son?
Yeah.
And do you travel with him often?
Yeah, I travel with him a lot. And, you know, I get a lot of criticism because I have dated while traveling with him. But it's like, how can you not? Like, for example, like, I was living in Cuba and I moved there for the whole summer. And I had a boyfriend when I was out there. Am I supposed to, like, hide my son? Like, no.
Not at all.
We were just a fake little family. And that was it.
Do you feel like it's difficult, like, to travel with your son? Because I know a lot of women who are, you know, who do have children and they may not be in relationships. I'm not necessarily going to call them, like, single mothers because I don't know, you know, their situation. But I know a lot of them tend to say, like, oh, I don't feel comfortable. Or I don't feel safe traveling, you know, with a young child. What do you say about that?
I mean, everybody feels their own way. I feel totally safe traveling with my son. I have no qualms about it. My main fear would be him catching, like, malaria or a disease or something like that.
Okay. Do you have any advice for women who are thinking about traveling with their children, but maybe they just don't really know where to start?
I would say just go for it. I say Mexico is a great place to start. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Just go for it. There's really nothing to fear. Wherever your heart calls and you want to travel to, it's not too dangerous. Just go there.
Like, I feel it.
Yeah, just go. Don't forget, you know, your medicine that your baby needs, and you can buy more diapers out there. Like, just do it. Literally, just do it.
Just get it done. That's what I try to tell people all the time, because the value of travel, like, really can't truly be explained unless somebody actually does it themselves. You know, we can tell people all the time, like, oh, you got to do it, you got to go. But until they see it for themselves, they're not really going to understand.
Right. And I say, if you're going to travel with your kid, don't be closed off to dating or meeting guys, because it really does come in helpful. Like, when you have to carry the stroller upstairs and stuff.
I feel you.
So, yeah, it comes in helpful. It's not just, like, you can protect your child. Like, my son meets like thousands of people, like people from online. You know, we have a lot of exposure, so he would never know, oh, mom is dating this guy. I'm making love in front of him. You know what I mean? So to him, it's just another guy, just another person.
Yeah, I understand that. And you also created your book, Tighten in the World Schoolers, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I wanted to continue traveling the world and educating my son, because people didn't think it was possible. They're like, there's no way you can travel the world. Your son has to go to school. And I'm like, no, actually, there's this thing called World School now, and I'm going to be his World School teacher. And even from now, he can speak like baby sign language. He can speak Spanish. Well, he can understand it and communicate effectively because we lived in Cuba. And he understands and communicates well in Haitian Creole and in English. So he's exposed. He knows a lot. And in my book, I just wanted to share some of the places that we've been, friends we made there, and the experiences we had.
I took a look at it. I think it's beautiful, and I commend you for that. Because a lot of people, you know, when they're talking to me about the future, and they're like, oh, well, you know, you got to settle down, you know, if you want to get married, you want to have kids. And I'm like, Ty Travels is out here traveling with her son. You can't tell me nothing.
Yeah, basically.
Well, Ty, thank you so much for talking with me and joining the podcast. That's all we have time for. If you could just go ahead and let our audience know where to find you and all the good stuff.
Okay, you guys can follow me on Facebook at Tai Travels, TAI Travels, and follow the Titan and the World Schoolers Facebook page. We're working on a movie right now, and it's very exciting. And my Instagram is Trips with Tai. That's Trips with TAI.
Awesome. There you have it. Thank you so much, Ty. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.